The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Barbara Yakubu.
In the headlines, organized labor begins indefinite strike today over second-tier pension, but government expresses surprise. Panelists at this year's NCCE dialogue series advocate proper balance between three arms of government. A Tuabo gas processing plans to supply gas to VRA next week. And trial for second Ebola vaccine underway in Canada as U.S. tightens guidelines for health workers treating Ebola patients. That's the summary with Barbara Yakubu.
The national chairman of TEWU, Peter Lumo, says the organized labor has exhausted all channels of resolving their grievances, but government has refused to heed to their call. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Lumo said the strike by the unions will be indefinite unless government releases funds of the second-tier pension scheme for the unions to manage. Panelists at this year's dialogue series of the National Commission for Civic Education say the review of the Constitution must bring about proper balance between the three arms of government to safeguard the liberty of citizens. They explain that even though the powers of the three arms of government were separated in the Constitution, there is a level of interdependence to ensure checks and balances. And the WHO has announced that testing is underway at the NIA for an Ebola vaccine. A trial for a second vaccine developed in Canada has started at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research in Silver Spring, Maryland. Meanwhile, the U.S. has tightened guidelines for health workers treating Ebola patients with the virus, calling for new competency training, a buddy system for donning and doffing personal protective equipment, and total coverage of eyes, hair, and skin.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news now in detail. Organized labor has decided to embark on an indefinite strike from today to press home its demand for workers to manage the second-tier occupational pension scheme within the public service instead of government. It is therefore calling on the government to release the funds accruing from the scheme to the four registered pension schemes established by workers to manage. We bring you more.
At a news conference jointly organized by the Ghana National Association of Teachers, Civil and Local Government Service Association of Ghana, Health Service Workers Union, Teachers and Educational Workers Union, and other labor unions, organized labor protested against the implementation of the second-tier pension scheme under the Government's Pension Alliance Trust. They contend that such action is an affront to the National Pensions Act 766 of 2008. According to organized labor, persistent appeals and meetings with the government and the National Pensions Regulatory Authority have yielded no results, hence their decision to embark on the indefinite strike. They complained that the fate of workers who are going to retire in January next year hangs in the balance as to whether they will benefit from the second tier or not. The labor union said government's failure to resolve the issue poses potential threat to the security of the country, since they have the responsibility to protect the interest of workers.
And that was a report on organized labor's decision to embark on an indefinite strike today.
Meanwhile, the national chairman of TEWU, Peter Lumo, says they have exhausted all channels of grievances, but government has refused to heed to their call. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Lumo said the strike by the unions will be indefinite unless government releases funds of the second-tier pension scheme for the unions to manage.
If you read the press statement states clearly from the beginning where the matter started from, as far back as 2012, this issue of second-tier pension had been on board. Late day of last year, organized labor, Sophia Samoa, the Secretary General, mentioned it and talked about the problem. Since 2014, this matter had come up. We have met the Minister of Employment, the former minister, that is Amashti. We have met the President. We have met the current Minister of Employment. And government seems to take an entrenched position. So this is the consequences of government's action.
So if the government seems to take an entrenched position, is that he doesn't want to release the farm to organized labor or...
Not organized labor. The unions that have signed this statement belong to four different schemes. Those in education, that is TEWU, NAT, NAGRA, concern. Then you have those in health, the nurses, the pharmacists, the anesthetists, name them. Then you come to the civil service, that is CLOSAT. Yes, these are four schemes. that have registered. And all what government must do is to release the funds to our schemes to manage, as stated by the Pensions Act. That is simple. It's ABCD. The Act is clear, and we have gone through all the processes to register our scheme, and government is refusing to release the money.
So it means if the money is not released, you will not go back to work?
We are saying that the strike is indefinite. So if government wants us to go to work, government should release the money to the fund, and we'll go back to work tomorrow.
But has the government received a copy of this press statement?
Definitely, the government, by all means, by this time, have received this press statement.
National Chairman of TEU, Peter Lumo. Staying with the strike, government has meanwhile expressed surprise and regret at the indefinite strike declared by the 8 labor unions in the public sector. The Minister of Employment and Labor Relations, Harun Hendrisu, said government and organized labor are negotiating and wondered why the 8 labor unions should declare a unilateral strike. According to him, the ministry has extended invitation to organized labor for continuous dialogue, but it declined to attend. Mr. Hendrisu stated this at a news conference in Accra. In attendance were representatives of the National Labour Commission, the National Pension Regulatory Authority, and the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission.
A section of organized labor, commonly referred to as the Forum, have decided to call an indefinite strike action with effect from Wednesday, 22nd October 2014, to press home their demands of getting government to release funds to their schemes under the second-tier pension scheme. I wish on behalf of government to express utmost surprise and regret and disquiet at the action of the Forum in the light of the following, that at the date and time and declaration at their press conference, the unions declined an invitation by government to come in at 3:30 p.m. for a scheduled meeting to continue discussions on the second-tier pension scheme and related matters. Indeed, we conveyed this invitation to them as far back 14th to 16th October. It's also instructive for me to add that at the last tripartite committee meeting, where we took the report of the technical committee to guide us on the determination of the minimum wage, I made a passionate appeal to labor that this matter was unresolved for a longer period, and therefore I wanted an urgent conclusion on it before the end of this month in particular, and to allow for disbursement of those deserving lump sum early January. We think that we can meet to avert tomorrow's action, which in my honest view is absolutely uncalled for and absolutely unnecessary, because we can find an amicable solution to this particular matter. And let me use this opportunity to appeal to patriotic Ghanaian workers not to hesitate and not to feel intimidated to work tomorrow. The wheels of government will run, and will run well. We will reach out to them for purposes of constructive dialogue, and we are available for further negotiations. They should not tear the world apart for them to boycott or embark on any strike action.
Mr. Hendrisu assured workers that their pensions are safe and secured and will be released as soon as they resolve the outstanding issues.
Let me assure the Ghanaian public, and particularly all Ghanaian workers, that their pension money remains safe and secure. We only have disagreed over mechanisms of how to manage the risk associated with employees managing a pension fund, to which government has a fundamental disagreement that it should be an employer-managed scheme, with them playing a lead and a key role. In fact, they had also raised objection that they don't want government to impose pension alliance trust on them. At the last tripartite meeting, I said that government was prepared to review that position, and as that we set up a new trust instrument which will allow them, all their four schemes, to be represented on the board, with government having 5 members as the employer, so that we will then determine who becomes the administrator, fund manager, and custodian. It is also significant for me to add that what labor has done is contrary to the provisions of Act 651, particularly Section 159 of the Labor Act of 2003. Naturally, they owe government a standard of care and a standard of duty to have served government notice of this intended action. That just did not happen. I hope that it's not a deliberate action by them, but they ought to have informed government by serving note of this particular action.
And that was Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Hendrisu, on the decision by the 8 labour unions in the public sector to embark on an indefinite strike over the release of the second-tier pension funds. And away from the strike, Fishers in Tema say the 2% reduction in the prices of petroleum products is inadequate since it will not have significant effects on business. According to them, Premix fuel, which sells at 7 Ghana cedis 10 pesos, will only be reduced to 20 pesos, will only be reduced by 20 pesos. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Wudum chief fisherman Ni Odamiti said considering the scarcity of the product, 2% reduction is pointless. He spoke to Patricia Chi.
If it has affected the mix, we shall do the reduction if it has affected the premix.
No, but generally the 2%, you think it's a good idea? What do you make of the percentage?
Oh, you see, it's a nice idea because we hope by the end of the year it will come down again.
So what's the price of premix now?
It's 10 pesos.
And the reduction is 2%, meaning that it will come down by some percentage, just about some pesos.
Like 30 pesos or so, like 30 pesos.
So is it laudable?
Oh, that's quite. Because now the finish is very scarce.
So looking at the scarcity and the price now, is it going to make any impact?
No, because we are not getting, if I say the scarcity, we are not getting the finish. It's not coming like, the demand is more than the supply now, nationwide, yes. So if the price high, like 7 Ghana cedis, 10 pesos, and we are getting complete, but if we are not getting, and the pressure has come, there is really nothing for us.
That was the Awudum chief fisherman Ni Odamiti talking to Patricia Chi on the 2% reduction in petroleum products and its impact on premix fuel.
And staying in the energy sector, the public relations officer of the Ghana Gas Company, Alfred Ogbami, says barring any last-minute hitch, the Atuabo gas processing plant will finally supply VRA natural gas next week. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Ogbami said what is left now is to tie the 58-kilometer pipeline to the Jubilee fields. Once this is done, gas will flow from the Jubilee fields to the Atuabo gas processing plant, and then natural gas will finally reach VRA to power electricity. He spoke to Yaya Kwamwa.
Very any last minute age, the processing plant, the Atuabo gas processing plant, will receive its fair petrol gas from the Jubilee field next week to begin the process of carrying out its final testing before commercial production. What does that mean? The plant, I've always insisted, has been ready for some time now. We have successfully done hydro testing of the offshore pipeline. We've done successful introduction of gas and a testing of the onshore pipeline. We've only been waiting for some time now for a delivery of natural gas or wet gas to the plant to enable us to do some initial testing or final testing of the part of the processing plant that would have to process raw gas into the various gas products we'll be producing. And then subsequent supply of gas to the VRA. As we speak, Talo and his partners, the Jubilee partners, have started that process. And indeed, are in the final stages of tying up 58-kilometer 12-inch pipeline to that of the Jubilee field, flexible riser. Once that is done and the wellheads are open, it will allow gas to flow from the Jubilee field to the Atuabo gas processing plant. We would then take the gas that will flow from that field, do what you call a final test to ensure that the processing plant is working according to design, specification, and construction. After that, we will then open the valve and allow lean gas to flow to Abuazi, to the VRA, to generate electricity. We will then, within the same process, be producing LPG, condensate, and isopentane. Yes.
So it means that by next week, when you start the initial testing to the Abuazi thermal plant?
No, it means that by next week, the processing plant would receive a fair natural gas from the Jubilee field in order for it to begin the final testing process that would lead to the supply of lean gas to the VRA plant, as well as production of LPG and all that gas. That is what it means. Yes, it will eventually lead to the supply of gas to VRA. But it is not just like you get a gas, you pump it to VRA. We have to process the gas because what comes from the VRA is what we call wet gas. It is wet because it has oil and liquids in it. We will process that gas, take out the oil, the liquids, and then supply VRA the dry or lean gas. Out of the oils and the liquids, we will then produce LPG, isopentanes, and pentanes.
So
the matter is that the introduction of trans gas to the plant and the supply of gas to the VRA could take place between a period of 4 days to a fortnight, depending on what we find.
Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Gas Company, Alfred Ogbami.
Government says it will continue to increase the producer price of cocoa and roll out other measures to enhance the welfare of the farmers, thereby reducing the shares in the proceeds from the commodity. Vice President Kwesi Emesa-Afa, who toured a new milk powder factory of Nestle Ghana Limited in Tema, said government is determined to support local manufacturing firms in spite of the temporary challenges facing the economy. Seth Aya reports.
Vice President Emesa-Afa said the government will continue to invest in the cocoa sector to attract more people, especially the youth.
There's a need to maintain the long-term efficiency of our farms so that our cocoa products will continue to be superior on the world market. It is to achieve this goal that governments over the years have committed substantial resources towards the cocoa industry with a view to boosting cocoa production as well as ensuring the quality of cocoa beans for both the domestic and international markets. Earlier this month, the producer price of cocoa was increased by about 63%, and this increase is consistent with our policy of enhancing the incomes of farmers by raising the producer price that is paid to the farmers.
The Vice President said the government is making substantial investments in energy and infrastructure to support local industries.
We need to continually assure the local manufacturing firms that despite the problems that we face in the economy, despite the problems that we face in manufacturing operations, especially currently with electricity supplies, government will continue to provide support to manufacturing industries that are operating in our country. And you have made critical investments, and we also are making critical investments in energy and in infrastructure through economic restructuring and the reordering of our spending priorities in order to free resources to enable us to invest further in infrastructure.
Mr. Emesa-Afa called on multinational companies to mentor small and medium-scale businesses in the country to enable them to adopt their operational styles in order for them to be successful.
To reach out to the small and medium enterprises that need to be nurtured, and that need to be nurtured by successes such as Nestle Ghana, so that industrial organizations on a small scale can continue to learn from you and take advantage through the existence of industrial associations. So we wish to encourage Nestle, as part of its corporate responsibility, to encourage small and medium enterprises that it deals with.
The Vice President, together with the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Kweku Rikitagen, and other officials, toured the new factory. Seth Iya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Organized labor begins indefinite strike today over second-tier pension, but government expresses surprise. Panelists, a troubled gas processing plan to supply gas to VRA next week. Panelists at this year's NCCE Dialogue Series advocate proper balance between the three arms of government, and trial for second Ebola vaccine underway in Canada as U.S. tightens guidelines for health workers treating Ebola patients. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. Panelists at this year's dialogue series of the National Commission for Civic Education say the review of the Constitution must bring about proper balance between the three arms of government to safeguard the liberty of citizens. The panelists comprised the Deputy Minister for Justice and Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayene, a retired Justice of the Supreme Court, Mr. Justice VCRC Crabb, and a former Second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Professor Michael Quay. Dr. Dominic Ayene, who is also MP for Bolgatanga, explained that even though the powers of the three arms of government were separated in the Constitution, there is a level of interdependence to ensure checks and balance. The three arms of government are the executive, legislature, and judiciary. explaining further, Dr. Yini said the president has no absolute powers since he will need parliamentary approval for some of his actions. For his part, Mr. Justice VCRC Krap said there must be a blend in the functions of the three arms of government. He said the judiciary must be given enough funds to operate. Mr. Justice Krap applauded the autonomy of the Chief Justice, saying even though he or she is appointed by the president, the executive has no influence on its work. Professor Michael Kwee refuted suggestions that judges cannot be removed easily.
We allow the president to even nominate two others who are lay people to add to the three, making five. And a decision can be made by simple majority. So if you get one person to add to the two appointed by the president, making three against five, they voted against you. To avoid that possibility, you must think again and find ways and means of having that decision made other than by two people appointed by a president. And I'm not talking about a particular president. And then one other person from any part of the judiciary who joined us to make it 3 out of 5. These are measures that can help to ensure that what we fear does not happen.
The chairperson of the National Commission for Civic Education, Mrs. Charlotte Osei, explained the motivation for the choice of the topic.
Understanding how the three arms of government work is really key to understanding how our democracy functions. And I think sometimes even if you read the constitution on your own, you don't really understand how in practical terms it works. So for instance, we dealt with the issue of how independent financially is the judiciary, how independent is the minister who is working also as a member of parliament. And so we thought we needed to engage and go into this issue. How strong really are the three arms? Is the executive as strong as we make, or is it because other arms are not being as strong as they should be? So that's why we picked this topic.
That was the chairperson of the National Commission for Civic Education, Mrs. Charlotte Osei. Meanwhile, there's a huge argument as to whether members of the Council of State, as advisors to the president, must continue to run errands for him.
The steering committee of the NPP has congratulated presidential candidate Nana Akufo-Addo on his resounding victory last Saturday. The committee said the victory was in recognition of Nanado's long-standing dedicated service to the party and frontline role in the struggle for political and economic emancipation for Ghana. A statement signed by the party's general secretary, Kogni Jepong, said the party also congratulates Alan Shamatin and Francis Adeyemo for enriching the contest and accepting the outcome of firm assurances to support the presidential candidate wholeheartedly.
The National Executive Committee of the NDC, NEC, has decided to remove the clause in the party's constitution which has brought about disaffection leading to several court injunctions on some constituency conferences. Sources close to the NEC after his meeting at the party's new headquarters in Accra told Radio Ghana they decided to seek out-of-court settlements to all the party's electoral cases to facilitate the holding of the constituency conferences and fix a date for the regional and national delegates conference. A clause in the party's constitution makes it imperative for people seeking to hold regional and national offices to have held constituency positions.
The Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Nilante Vanderpoel, says all is set for the National Sanitation Day on the 1st of November. In an interview with TechKitchen, Nilante Vanderpoel said the event will go a long way to instill in every Ghanaian the attitude of doing the right thing so as to check environmental degradation.
We've done the launching, and after the launching, it's imperative for us to continue with the education and as much as possible create the necessary awareness and make sure that every Ghanaian gets ready for the day. We're still doing the advocacy. What we are doing now is one of them. We've done a lot of work as far as radio advert, TV adverts are concerned. But what we are doing now is one-on-one explanation of what is supposed to happen. In fact, on the day itself, what we are saying is that no Ghanaian, no matter who you are, will be allowed to engage in any activity apart from the National Sanitation Day. Or no car is going to move, no shop is going to open, nobody is going to engage in any different activity. As Ghanaians, we are all, from our president, our chiefs, our pastors, our teachers, our opinion leaders, the security services, each and every one of our school children is going to be involved in the cleaning of our environment and to making sure that we have a clean environment.
Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Lynn Lante van der Pooy, on the National Sanitation Day slated for November 1.
The National Health Insurance Scheme will next month start full implementation of the capitation in the Upper East, Upper West and Volta regions. Although the program was rolled out on these three regions in February, it could not be fully implemented due to challenges including finance. Speaking at a forum on the campaign for universal access to healthcare in 2014, the Deputy Chief Executive in charge of operations at the NHIS, Nathaniel Otu, said during the pilot in the Ashanti region, issues of miscommunication, bad communication and misunderstanding of benefits came up. However, they have been dealt with. He said the selected implementation will be devoid of those challenges.
On the foreign front, the WHO has announced that testing is underway at the NIA for an Ebola vaccine. A trial for a second vaccine developed in Canada has started at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research in Silver Spring, Maryland. The WHO's Assistant Director General for Health Systems and Innovation, Dr. Marie Polly Kieny, said the goal is to launch vaccine trials in West Africa by January.
Meanwhile, the United States has tightened guidelines for health workers treating patients with Ebola virus, calling for new competency training, a buddy system for donning and doffing personal protective equipment, and total coverage of eyes, hair, and skin. The WHO has advised health workers to wear masks, but did not require complete coverage of skin. The developments come in the wake of at least three reported cases of Ebola in the United States.
So in the news, the main point again. The national chairman of TEU, Peter Lumo, says the strike by the unions will be indefinite unless government releases funds of the second-tier pension scheme for the unions to manage. Panelists at this year's dialogue series of the National Commission for Civic Education are advocating the review of the constitution. They say it must bring about proper balance between the three arms of government to safeguard the liberty of citizens. The public relations officer of the Ghana Gas Company, Alfred Ogwami, says the Turabu gas processing plant will finally supply VRA natural gas next week. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Ogwami said what is now left is to tie the 558-kilometer pipeline to the Jubilee fields. And the WHO has announced that testing is underway at the NIA for an Ebola vaccine. A trial for a second vaccine developed in Canada has also started at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research in Silver Spring, Maryland. Meanwhile, the U.S. has tightened guidelines for health workers treating patients with the Ebola virus, calling for new competency training, a buddy system for donning and doffing personal protective equipment, and total coverage of eyes, hair, and skin. The news was presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Lily Defoe.